John 12, verse 20. We're going to read down to verse 31. There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came, therefore, to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now I want you to go back to verse 20. Now these Greeks, it says verse 20, certain Greeks came among them. There were certain Greeks among them. This is Gentiles. They converted to the Jews' religion. They begun to worship with the Jews. They came up to worship at the feast, it says. They came there to Jerusalem because that was the week when the Passover was being observed. And at the end of that week, they would eat the Paschal lamb. It would be slain, and they would eat that lamb, that Passover lamb. And you know that Passover was instituted by God to remind Israel that He brought them out of Egyptian bondage through the blood of a lamb that was slain in the place of all the firstborn in Israel. Now Christ is our Passover. Christ is the believer's Passover. At the end of that very week, at that very time, the Passover lamb, the true Passover lamb, Christ Himself laid down His life and He redeemed His children out of bondage of sin and corruption. He did that and put away our sins by the sacrifice of Himself. Now verse 21 says, The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee. Those Greeks came up to talk to Philip, and they desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Now that's a good request. Sir, we would see Jesus. If we can see Him, if we see Him by God-given faith, we see Him, we'll have eternal life. We'll have atonement. We'll see righteousness, the one who is our righteousness. And all that we'll need to be accepted of Holy God, we'll find in Him through faith. Theirs was a request we need to follow. Now, verse 22, Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. Now, why did Philip come tell Andrew? Those Greeks wasn't asking to see Andrew. They said we would see Jesus. But Philip goes and he tells Andrew this. Well, let me give you a little background here. This was a difficult, tumultuous time right then to be in Jerusalem, to be identified with Christ. Look back up at John 11 in verse 53. From that day forth, they, that is the Pharisees, took counsel together for to put Him, that is Christ, to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews. Look down at John 11, 57. Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it that they might take him, that they might take Christ. If any man knew where he was, look down at John 12, verse 10. The chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, Lazarus whom Christ had just raised from the dead, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Because He had raised Lazarus from the dead. They wanted to kill Him too. They wanted to kill Christ and they wanted to kill Lazarus. And if any man knew where he was, that he would probably be killed if he was identified with Christ and he knew Christ. Well, these were things that Andrew and Philip would rather not suffer. There's some things believers have a hard time with in this world that we'd rather not suffer. Now, they were thinking, they still holding on to this idea that Christ came to reestablish the kingdom of Israel on the earth, like what David had in David's day. They still had this idea that that's what he was going to do. They were slow to let go of that. And we're slow to let go of all our grave clothes and all the things of this earth and everything that's earthy and the things that we want of this earth. We're slow to let go of those things. Slow to let go of them. But the Lord said, my kingdom's not of this world. He said, if my kingdom were of this world, he said, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. So his servants didn't fight. His kingdom's not from here. We don't want to be rejected. That's another thing. We hang on to this earth. We're slow to let go of our lives and hold on to his thoughts and his truth, what God said. We're slow to do that. And we don't want to be rejected. We don't want to be rejected of men. That's not comfortable. It's not ever comfortable to us to be opposed and rejected by family and friends, which you will be. If you truly know the God of this Bible and trust him and believe on him and declare who he is to folks, you will be rejected of men. Christ wasn't crucified because everybody in religion liked him. He was crucified because he came to establish righteousness and he took it all out of man's hands. And men don't like that. Men hate that message. And you will be despised for this message. But we don't want to suffer. We want a Savior and a religion that everybody likes. We don't want to be rejected by family and friends. We want to have agreement. Well, verse 22 says, finally, it says again, Andrew and Philip, they went and told the Lord Jesus. They knew what was best for them to do. It was best for them to go to the Lord. And we know what's best for us to do. This is always the best thing for us, brethren, is to go to the Lord. Go to the Lord and in all the face of uneasiness and all the face of suffering and persecution and rejection, when you're weak at all times, go to the Lord and pour it all out to the Lord and tell the Lord. He'll answer. He'll answer you. Maybe you've been doing that. Maybe somebody here has been doing that and they haven't felt like they've been getting an answer from the Lord, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, maybe today he sent you the answer. Maybe he's about to give you the answer right now. And this is what he said. Let's listen very carefully. Verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. That's an odd way to answer them, isn't it? They come and tell him, Lord, there's some Gentiles here that want to see you. And the Lord says, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. The hour had come when Christ, the Son of Man, should be glorified in the redemption of his people by the sacrifice of himself. That hour had come. You know, he went throughout the scriptures and it would say men try to take him and they try to do something. They try to lay hands on him and so they could throw him off a hill or whatever. And he went out from their midst because his hour was not yet come. But now he says, my hour is come. The hour had come. Look over at John 17. This was the very hour for which this world was made. It was the very purpose why God, the Son, came from glory and took a human nature, the human nature of his children, of his elect children, so that the Son of Man, that perfect Son of Man, that perfect man, should be glorified and bring together his children together with God in that one God-man mediator. John 17, 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And that's what was taking place there. And they were glorifying the one the other. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. That's life eternal. You would think that if you knew where the fountain of youth is, where you would never grow old and you would always live forever, wouldn't you seek it? Wouldn't you go there? Wouldn't you just want to know everything about it, where it's at, and drink long and deep from that fountain? Well, here he is. This is him, the only true God in Jesus Christ our Savior. And he says here, I have glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work which you gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now that hour had come for him to be glorified. And also, this was the hour when Christ was going to be glorified in Andrew and Philip. Now they knew him. They'd been called by him. They'd been taught by him. They'd walked with him. They had the Spirit of God dwelling in them. But they're about to see Christ in a little better light than how they'd known him. He's about to be glorified in their hearts a little bit more. Verse 24. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Now I remind you again that they've come there because these Greeks wanted to see the Lord. And the Lord just starts saying, "Now's the hour when the Son of Man should be glorified." And then he said, "Now verily, verily," this is the utmost important thing. Listen to what I'm saying. "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." Now, Christ is the seed. Turn over to Galatians 3 and let me show you this. You know, a single corn of wheat, within a single corn of wheat, just a pea or a bean or a single corn of wheat, there's much fruit in it. Much fruit in that single kernel. Well, Christ is the seed. He is the seed. That when the Lord told Abraham he was going to bless him, he said, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." And Paul tells us here in Galatians 3:16, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ." You see, all the promises that God have for his people, he gave them all to Christ. He made those promises to him. He said to Abraham and to his seed, he made those promises to his seed, to Christ. And in him were all the children that are going to be born. All the children that are going to be born in that seed. Just like in a kernel of corn. There's a lot of fruit in that one little kernel of corn. Well, all of God's children were in Christ, put there by God the Father, in whom, according as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, they were all put there. Well, children, you were in your father before they were born. You know that? Just like that kernel of wheat. You're in your father before you're ever born. God made everything to show us his glory. He designed everything that he made to show us his glory. He made that corn of wheat to show us there's a bunch of fruit in that corn of wheat right there. Why did he make it like that? Why did he make it so that all of a father's children are in him from the beginning? Why did he do that? He's doing it to declare his son. He's doing it to declare the glory of his name in his son. All his children were in Christ before the world began. They're in him, just like you were in. Now the father, before you were ever born, the Father did everything that was necessary to provide for you. Your fathers did. They did everything necessary to provide for you. They had all provisions made. And it was by them you were born. And when you were born, they brought you home when you were helpless and couldn't do anything. And they laid you down in a room where everything was provided. They laid you in a bed that they made, that they provided for you, laid you down and began to care for you and take care of you all of your days. That's what God does for his people. But look what he says here now. Verse 24. He says, "Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." It abideth alone. Christ is teaching them, and he's teaching us, that it was necessary that he lay down his life. He's that seed. He's got to lay down his life in order to do all the work for his children, in order to put away all their sin, in order to provide all righteousness for them, in order to declare his Father righteous and just and the justifier, in order to provide eternal satisfaction for them and to provide eternal justification for them and eternal redemption for them. He's going there to lay down his life. He has to die in order for that to take place. If Christ hadn't died, what would have happened? He says there, if that corn of wheat doesn't fall into the ground and die, it just stays alone. It abides alone. You still got the corn of wheat, but it doesn't have all the fruit. The stalk doesn't, vine doesn't come up, it doesn't bear fruit. It's just that corn of wheat. So Christ had to die. But look at verse 24. But if it die. And that's the title of the message. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Well, Christ obeyed his Father. He obeyed his Father. And he laid down his life. He served his Father. He followed what the will of his Father was. And the will of his Father was for him to go to that cross and lay down his life at that cross, that his children might be born. They might be purged of all sin, justified, and born of him. That was his Father's will. That's what he did. He said, I came not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. He said, I came to do your will, O God. In the volume of the book it's written of me. I came to take away that first covenant of the curse and the law for my people and to undo all of that so that you can receive my people and they'd be perfect and accepted and righteous. That's what he came to do. In order to accomplish that, he had to die to bring forth that fruit. And that's what he did by this man. He's by one offering, he did that. He died. He went into the ground, into the grave, and he rose again. The tender plant came up, and from him all his children are born. All of his children are born, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Now, because he did that, he brings forth much fruit. The righteousness of God's declared. That's a lot of fruit. And then he brings forth all his children. His children are fruit. Let me show you that. James, look over to you right there at James. Look at James 1:18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. And that word of truth in other places called the incorruptible seed. Born of the incorruptible seed by the gospel that's preached unto you, by Christ being formed in you, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Fruits. You see that? Fruits of his creation. Now all for whom he died are going to be born again. I want to show you this too. Isaiah 53. Verse 10, it says, I'll give you time to get there. Isaiah 53:10. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him in the place of his people. It satisfied God's justice to bruise Christ in the place of his people. It satisfied the Lord to bruise him. He put him to grief. No man didn't do it. He did it. He put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. You see that? When he makes his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. God saw his son, and his son shall see his children, his fruit. He shall prolong days. He's going to prolong the days. God prolonged the days of his son. His son prolonged the days of his children, of his sons and his daughters. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Watch this. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Now, see that word there? He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Childbirth involves a lot of travail. A lot of travail. But when the child is laid in your arms, you see the fruit of your travail and you're satisfied. God saw the travail of his son's soul, and it satisfied his justice, for he bore away all the iniquity of his people. And all of Christ's children shall be born anew in spirit, and in each child born he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. All right? But that child of God, you child of God, listen, we would have never had life. We'd have never been born had Christ not willingly laid down his life and died that we might live. It never would have happened. Never would have happened. And we're like Philip and Andrew. We're like them. We get some opposition. We get some pushback, you know, and we're slow to believe things. We're slow to believe the Lord. And we regard that which is, we call life, that's really death, and we regard death that's not really life. We regard that, we call that life, which is not really life, and that death, which is not really death. That's what we are by nature. Philip and Andrew didn't say that any of this to the Lord. They just came and said, "Lord, there's some men that want to see you." But you know what was in their heart? What was in their heart was, "We don't want you to come out and let everybody see you, because men will take you and they're going to kill you. We don't want to be identified with you, because if we do, they're going to take us and kill us too. We don't want you to die, because we want a kingdom of this earth, and we don't understand how you're going to make a spiritual kingdom, and it's not of this earth. We want something earthy." They didn't say any of that, but God was standing there in front of them. That's who they were talking to, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he heard everything they were saying in their heart. And he didn't answer them according to what came out of the words that came out of their mouth. "Lord, there's some men here that want to see you." He's answering them according to the words that they were speaking in their heart, that they weren't speaking audibly with his mouth. That's the words he was answering. Now, he's teaching them and he's teaching us. Now, here's the lesson that he teaches them and he teaches us. And I hope he answers our heart right now like he did theirs. This is what he said. Let's go back over it again now. "Verily, verily," verse 24, "verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Now, let's go over this illustration right here, just a simple illustration. You got a seed. Say you got a pound of peas. Not a pound. You got a what comes in one of those little packages? Is that a pound? Pound of peas? It's not a pound, is it? Anyway, you got enough peas for a helping. One helping. Well, you got a choice what you can do with those peas. You can take those peas and you can save them. You can hold on to them. And you can soak them and boil them and make you up a big old bowl of beans with them if you want to. And that's it. They're done. It's over with. You've lost them. Or you can take those beans and you can put them in the ground and die. Let them die. And from that, plants will come up and you can get a whole lot more beans than just that one helping of beans. You can get a whole lot more than just that one. Now, verse 25, he says, "He that loveth his life shall lose it." You have a life, just like those beans we're talking about. You got a life, so you think. You got a life. You can save it. Save it from humility. Save it from humbling, bowing, submitting to the Lord. Save your life from confessing your sin, repenting of all your vanity, coming to the Lord. You can save your way, your thoughts, your ideas, who you think God is, or whether you don't even think there is a God. You can save all that. You can save yourself from any kind of rejection from family and friends. You can save it all. You can save and you can have a moment of pleasure called life. This life right here. A moment of pleasure. It might last 10 more years. Maybe it'll last 20 or 30 more years. It may last till you're 80, 90 years old. It's just a moment. Just like eating that bowl of beans. And then it's over. And it's over. Verse 25, the second part. "And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." Or you can give up your life right now. Just like you put those beans in the ground. You can give it up. Die to your lust. Die to this world. Renounce all your works of righteousness. Repent from your sin. Live no more for the momentary gratification of one bowl of beans. And have Christ the life. Eternal life. Right now. And in the world to come. But you can't have both. But you cannot have both. Look at Matthew 6:24. I can just read this to you. But look at Matthew 6:24. Just can't have both. I know there's some men that would try to make you think you can have both. I'm glad Christ didn't try to have both. We wouldn't have a Savior. We wouldn't have a salvation. You can't have both. Matthew 6:24. "No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. It just can't be done. It's impossible. Now go back to our text, John 12:26. "If any man serve me," and I really want you to see this part, "if any man serve me," any man now, this applies to all who would serve Christ. "If any man serve me, Look at the next part. Let him follow me. Christ was going to the cross. You know what the Father said His will was for His Son? Go to that cross and lay down your life. You know what Lord Jesus Christ said His will is for those that follow Him? Go to that cross and lay down your life. Go there and lay down your life. He was going to lay down His life for His Father and for His brethren. That's what He's saying. Lay down your life for your Father and your brethren. And He says here, Christ was going to give up His life so that sinners can have life. That's why we lay down our life. We do it for God our Father. We do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. We do it for our brethren. We do it that other sinners can have life. And He says, and if any man serve me, He says, let him follow me. Verse 26 again, He says, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. Now He went to that cross, and that's where every one of His children who shall serve Him, that's where they were when He went to that cross. When He laid down His life, they laid down their life in Him. When He died, they died. But He's not on that cross now, and He's not in that tomb now. Look at Colossians 3. He's risen to the right hand of the Father, and that's where He is right now. And that's where every one of His servants are too. That's where everyone who right now are made alive and serve Him, and that's where every one of them are that shall be made alive and shall be brought to serve Him. And this is what He says to you who know Him and believe on Him. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. That's what Christ is telling us. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's where your life is. He says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. You see that? Now go back. Let's look at it again. Verse 26, John 12, 26. He says, now if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now, the Lord Jesus was serving His Father in everything He was doing, and teaching Philip and Andrew, teaching us here today, and in going to that cross, He was serving His Father. And now look at what He says next, verse 27. He said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? He said, my soul is troubled. That's what they were having problems with. They had soul trouble. He said, my soul's troubled. And He said, what shall I say? And He said, Father, save me from this hour. Is that what I called to it? He said, before this cause came I unto this hour. There's some suffering we have to suffer. There's some suffering we have to go through. Teach us to lay down this life that we might have life eternal. He had to do that. He said, Father, glorify Thy name. That's what I'll ask you, Father, glorify Your name. And that's what He's teaching us to ask Him. Father, glorify Your name. Look, now watch. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard said that it thundered, and others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, and I think He's talking to Philip and Andrew. He said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now think about it. He just told Philip and Andrew, and you and me, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And then He showed us what it is to serve Him, by how He served the Father. He said, now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Before this hour came I unto this hour. He said, rather, Father, glorify Thy name. And He just said the Father would honor those who served Him. Well, He's serving the Father. And there came a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it and I'll glorify it again. The Father honored Him, didn't He? And He said, this voice didn't come for me. It came for your sake. It came for your sake. You're learning what I just told you. God the Father is bearing witness to what I just taught you. Now, every sinner who comes to the Father through faith in His Son, who gives up this life for Christ, to serve Christ, desiring to see our Savior receive all the glory, the Father has already glorified you, already honored you, and He will honor you, that believer, and continue to do it the same way as He did Christ. Listen. He honored us when He glorified Christ and raised Christ from the dead because He raised His children in Him. He honored us and He glorified Christ again when He raised us from spiritual death to newness of life and quickened us together by the Holy Spirit in the new birth. He shall honor us and He shall glorify Christ again in providing all our needs as we go through this earth. He will again honor us and will yet glorify Christ again when He raises our spirit to be with Him when we die. He will again honor us and will yet glorify Christ again when He raises our bodies anew in the resurrection. And He'll again honor us and yet glorify Christ again when He returns to be glorified in all His saints and admired in all them that believe. Let a man hold on to his bowl of beans. Take the world, but give me the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say that? A man would have to be just a blazing idiot not to. Amen.